No, no, no. Let's not get right into playoffs. There's been a wild week, a wild few weeks, probably a wild month in media.
It's all your fault.
I'm Thanos. I keep telling y'all that I'm Thanos and nobody wants to listen to me. Actually, Kwame Brown might be Thanos.
That's true.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. Nah, he could be Galactus. Galactus. Thanos is always around. Galactus just pop up and now you're dead.
And eat your whole
Yeah, and Thanos ain't even got time for none of these Avengers, X-Men, Fantastic Four games. I'm going to throw these planets at you. That's it. You're dead. But I don't even... Where does this start? It started with me, but then it got off me quickly. Yeah, my God, won't he do it every time?
God just threw them out there.
Yo, every time it looked like
is God.
Every time it looked like the stars are aligning and they're getting Joe out of here, somebody come right along and do something. God, you got to know the waves of the internet. The internet works in waves. Sure. It's important to say that. Everybody is trying to incorporate the internet into their ecosystem, whatever that is, whatever their world is. And if you don't get it, you don't get it. For me, I get that this shit works in waves, shifts, and cycles. And the internet has been at work. I'm still dark, have been dark, been getting a lot done, been being real productive, blah, 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 all that good shit. But Kwame Brown, salute to this man.
Tearing their asses
up. Oh, yeah.
I don't want to say tearing their ass up, but he's making his presence felt. He's making his voice heard. For those of you that are unfamiliar, Kwame Brown was the number one overall draft pick in the NBA in 2001 to the Washington Wizards. Michael Jordan was in control of the team back then. Kwame Brown is straight from high school. He was 17, 18 years old, and Michael Jordan's tutelage was a lot. It was rough. Rumor has it that Doug Collins's tutelage was a lot.
I mean, we saw Mike's tutelage in the documentary.
We saw it. We saw it.
Imagine being 18 and getting that type of treatment.
Yeah, everybody does
ridicule, criticism.
Yeah,
everybody don't respond to that shit the same way. I said that the other day.
Yeah.
Like, yo, as a coach, you got to know how to talk to your players to get to maximize their contribution. And everybody wasn't prepared for Mike.
And I'm
veterans
sure
didn't like Mike.
I'm sure that's pretty like damaging when you're that
17,
young.
17,
like,
yeah. It's Mike. Yeah.
To come back, you know, from that. Yeah, and it's Mike. The greatest basketball player.
Ever. You grew up,
certainly at that point.
Ever.
That you could even
make argument. He's ripping you. So right. It's like, that'll fuck
that's
you up.
That's some trauma.
So people, not only is that trauma, but people have made whatever jokes they've made for 20 years, and now Kwame Brown has resurfaced and addressed a lot of it. And in the past month, he's addressed it with some of our favorite media people, i.e. Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson from Up in Smoke, or All the Smoke, I'm sorry, one of my favorite pods, as well as Charlamagne.
Mm-hmm.
That has been where most of the focus has been, right?
Stephen A. Smith.
Stephen A. Smith, Jemele Hill. I won't get into all of that because that's kind of been passing. The consistent theme has been whatever's been going on with Kwame Brown, Steven Jackson, Matt Barnes, and Charlamagne.
Right.
Over the weekend, we saw an apology from Steven Jackson, where he basically said, yo, that was a teammate of mine. Clearly, I hurt his feelings, and I'm man enough to acknowledge when I made a mistake and say that wasn't my intention. I'm not here to tear down black men, demonize black men, or add to anybody's pain. So I apologize. Even if he continues, I'm apologizing, and that's the end of it for me. I'm hitting a round of applause for Steven Jackson because that's commendable. That was followed by an apology from Charlamagne, and I have that here. I'll play
about
it.
When I spoke on, you know, Kwame and his family, how many people were impacted by those things I was speaking on? I mean, that's generational. Okay, I caused pain and unintentionally poked at people's wounds. Okay, wounds that will probably never heal, and I can't take back those words, but I can't apologize. You know, I think oftentimes we, meaning black people, we fight each other with our demons, whether true or false, whatever is the worst thing we know about a person or think we know about a person, we default to that, and that was not my intention. I was not in any way, shape, or form trying to paint Kwame in a negative light, okay? That black man is not my op. He wasn't my op when I said it. In my mind, I'm defending that man, but I should have been defending him as Leonard, Charlemagne the God, McKelvey the Professional, and not Leonard, Larry, whatever you want to call me, from Monk's Corner, South Carolina, talking like I'm home in the town on why I believe they need to leave Kwame Brown alone. That was whack, because the conversation didn't even have to go there. The conversation should have been about basketball. Yes, leave Kwame Brown alone because he achieved a goal and a dream that 1.3% of NCAA seniors
I'm letting it rock.
Achieve. And let 0.03% of high school seniors. You know how small a number that is? And, you know, just that's just simply being drafted in the NBA. If you play 13 seasons and make $65 million, you're a success. Okay? Oh, yeah. If you work 13 years anywhere and make that kind of money, you're a success. So salute to that man.
It is a positive season.
The only expectation we have to live up to is our own. That's why I always say success is subjective. Okay? My views of success may be different than yours. As long as you're happy, that's all that matters. But we didn't even get into that conversation because my mind automatically went to something that it didn't even have to go to. And doing that, I unintentionally,
right,
I didn't even think about when I spoke on
enough. All right. So there, we have apologies all around the board. This seems to be over. How are we feeling?
Well, he didn't accept.
He didn't accept his apology. He said, "Fuck his apology."
Yeah, he said, "Fuck your apology."
Yeah.
Yeah. Flat out.
Damn.
Like, again.
Into that, you say?
You know,
I think a lot of it.
Can I get your.
You know, I'm not really the industry voice.
Can I get your post Listerine voice?
Man, shut up, yo. You know, I'm not the industry dude, but I think that it's damage control. I think that if you were sincere in how you felt, you pushed a black people narrative, you pushed a trauma narrative all the time, and you wouldn't have said that shit. Like, you're a veteran, you know better, you wouldn't have said that shit. That's my personal opinion. That's what people sometimes say about you. Like, yo, you know better, you've been around mad long, you shouldn't be doing certain shit, you know better. And so for him, I think it's the same. And then when homeboy start pulling out personal shit that he knew about Charlemagne retreated. That's my personal opinion. I think, I don't know if the apology was super sincere. You just ain't want the smoke that he was about to bring to you.
Okay.
And I think he don't have to accept that apology. He can keep going if he feel like it. You disrespected me. You don't get to dictate how I respond to your disrespect.
Or when the beef is over.
Or, yeah, beef is it's over when I'm ready for it to be over.
Oh, because that's the other part that I forgot to mention. That after Kwame Brown said whatever he said, allegedly Charlemagne sent cease and desist to both him and Funkmaster Flex.
Yeah.
So then they both responded. Well, they both responded, but Kwame said, "You're going to send me a cease and desist where you get to go on the air and talk about my whole family, blah, 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 blah."
And there was things that he didn't
And the point that he was saying was, you were saying stuff about my family that my mother protected me from.
Right.
You were saying stuff about
you broke information.
My dad that I didn't know. You said stuff about my brother I didn't know.
Right,
like, if anything, you owe, there's a lot more people you owe an apology outside of me.
Correct.
I DM'd the brother, man. There's some powerful stuff in what you're talking about. Once you get past past the surface stuff.
Yeah, I agree.
He talking that shit.
And that's what, like, yo, again, he's talking about the black narrative. He's talking about a whole bunch of shit, how when you get a platform and you get a voice, you start tearing us down and they'll let you rock. They'll let you rock. Start saying something about some of them other groups. They shutting that shit down. But with us, they'll let you go. You could nigga bitch all day, but you start saying something about somebody else, it's going to come to a halt. And that's what he's basically preaching. Like, yo, y'all tearing us down. He's like, yo, I'm a bus. My mother lives on a golf course, nigga. He's made $65 million.
People got to stop bringing people's families into shit.
Yeah, too. Like, again, if he made $65 million. Only us do you call out a bus.
Right.
That's only with us. Do you call out a bus?
Nobody else does that.
Fucking doctors, surgeons, lawyers, they don't make $65 million in a lifetime, and they parents and they family be bragging about them like they the best shit since sliced bread. With us, we the motherfuckers that'll find a way to nitpick it.
To reference the Michael Jordan doc, the internet went crazy when Jerry Krause offered Pippen that contract, and he took it, right? But when you hear Pippen talk about it, yo, I come from a family of 10. We've been poor my entire life, and I promised my mother that I would do something to take us out of there. So, yeah, y'all might be telling me that $10 million over however many years is bad, but at the time...
Nigga, a whole generation hasn't seen $10 million. You take everybody in his family and put them together, and they ain't make $10 million collectively.
Yeah.